Steve. Today is an exciting day in the church. This is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. And it sounds like that's an unusual holiday or way to describe today. But in the church, that's what it was, Palm Sunday. And if you read in your Bibles in Mark chapter 11, it says, as they approached Jerusalem near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and they got a donkey. And it says that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and everybody laid down on the streets. They cut branches from the trees, palm branches and other branches, and they put them on the road, and the crowds lined up along the side of the road, and Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, on the palm branches. And they did that to honor Jesus. So that's Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. And then next Sunday is what? Next Sunday is Easter. And Easter is an interesting holiday. I think it's probably the greatest part, maybe, of the holidays that are out there, because it talks about the death of Jesus and, of course, the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus. But the Friday when Jesus was crucified, that was the darkest, blackest, most terrible day in all of history. It was the day that Jesus died. But the most beautiful and greatest day was the Sunday morning of Easter when Jesus rose from the dead. That's amazing. And that's why this church and all churches exist, because of the resurrection of Jesus. So the passage that we're going to look at today, it's the last miracle of Jesus before he enters into Jerusalem. This is the last miracle in the last week of the life of Jesus. So it's the last miracle, the last week, and it's leading up to his suffering and his death, and then later his resurrection. So there's something about this miracle, I think, that God wants to teach us. As I've been studying this for the last several weeks, there's things that the Lord just taught me that I needed to hear as I read this passage, and I tried to understand what it was all about. In verse 46, it says, they came to Jericho. Jericho was a small city. It was about 18 miles east of Jerusalem. So if you're looking at a map of Israel, you have Jerusalem, the capital city, then 18 miles away to the east is Jericho. And Jericho was a famous city. Jericho was the first city that Joshua conquered when they left Egypt, when Israel left Egypt, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then they crossed the Jordan River, and the very first city they came to was Jericho. So there's a lot of symbolism there. The first place they went to conquer was Jericho, and now this final miracle of Jesus is also going to happen in Jericho. It says they came, Jesus and the disciples, they came to Jericho. And they were large crowds that had gathered. Well, the reason why was because they were 1 week away from the Passover celebration. Jesus was crucified, you know, it was the Passover weekend. The Passover was one of the three great gatherings of Israel. In their history, they gathered together three times. And everybody within a certain number of miles had to go to the Passover celebration because it happened at the temple in Jerusalem. So Jericho was on the road that led to Jerusalem. So the city and the streets were crowded with people. Says that there was a large crowd that had gathered. And so the city and the streets, the the highways were full of people, pilgrims, going into Jerusalem, walking that way. And as they walked, there was a blind beggar. There was a blind man sitting at the side of the road. It's interesting, it says there is a blind beggar sitting at the side of the road. And you've heard me tell some stories about my dog, Bear. But my little dog is blind. He went blind about a year ago. He had cataracts. They couldn't fix them properly, and he went blind. So my tiny little dog is about that big. He's completely blind. He can't see anything. Now, he can find his water bowl because he knows where it is. So he's kind of used to going to his little water bowl and where his food is. But we have to pick him up and carry him to go outside to go to the bathroom. You know, we have to pick him up to put him in his little bed at night. We have to make sure there's no obstacles that he'll run into something because he's completely blind. And it says here that along the side of the road was a blind beggar. Back then, there were no hospitals, there were no social security, there were no ways, there was no VA, there was no way to take care of people who had handicaps or who were blind. There's nothing they could do for them. Their only income was to sit at the side of the road, and they held their hands out, asking for alms or asking for money. That's how they lived. They didn't own anything. No houses, no cars, no possessions. Probably the only thing he owned was his cloak. And his cloak was like an outer garment that he wore. But it was more like his sleeping bag. The cloak was like something that he slept in, that he sat on, that kept him warm during the winter. It was probably his only possession he owned was his cloak that he put on his shoulders. So this blind man is sitting on the side of the road. Now it's interesting, this story is found in three of the Gospels. They're called the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all are similar Gospels. Now, John's story is just a little bit different, has other information, but all three of them have this same miracle, and they talk about it in a little bit different ways, but Mark names the beggar. His name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. And in Hebrew, Bar means son of, so his name meant son of Timaeus. The word Timaeus meant honored one or valued one. Son of Timaeus. Probably later, he becomes a well-known believer in the church. We don't know. But Mark knew the name of this blind beggar, so something happened there. Verse 47. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout. And that word shout there is not speaking loudly. The Greek word is krazo. Sound like crazy. He went crazy. He was shouting at the top of his lungs. He was screaming out. He was crying out. And he began to shout. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because he heard whispers in the crowd, that's Jesus of Nazareth, the one who can do miracles. And he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The word Son of David, it's a messianic title. Messianic. And you know this, but Jesus Christ, Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. Christ, anointed one, is what it means. So the son, the term son of David meant it was a messianic title. Because in Samuel and lots of other places, God makes a promise and says that the throne of David would last forever. And when you look at the genealogies of Jesus, they're traced back to David. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says that Jesus was the son of David. So the term son of David, it was a messianic title. A messianic title. It was someone that the Jews were looking to come as the Messiah and come as the king to set up his kingdom on the earth. So this blind man was shouting, he was crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." What do we cry out in our own hearts? You know, what do we cry out to God about? You know, maybe it's the salvation of family members. It's maybe our health. Maybe a marriage that is struggling. We all have things that we cry out to God about. And this blind man says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy." But look at verse 48. What did the crowd tell him to do? They tell him to shut up. They're not very polite about it. They say, "Be quiet. Zip your lips. Shut up. You're causing a disturbance." So the crowds go over to the blind man, and they're all gathered around him, telling him, "Be quiet. What are you doing here?" They're embarrassed. And they try to get the blind man to be quiet and to shut up. What does the blind man do? Look at verse 48. He only shouted louder. He begins to shout louder and louder and louder. I think he knew this was his only chance. These are cries of desperation. My experience is sometimes we don't come to Jesus sometimes until we're desperate. Until we're desperate. And in his desperation, he cries out to Jesus. Are you crying out to Jesus? Are you crying out to Jesus? Verse 49, the next verse. And I hope you're following along. It's in the notes or the verses are in your bulletin if you want to look at it verse by verse. But verse 49 says, when Jesus heard him, isn't that encouraging? The blind man was crying out, and Jesus heard him. You know, as believers, when we cry out to God, God hears our prayer. He hears our prayer. When we cry out to God, the crowd all of a sudden changes their tune. Says to the blind man, "Oh, be of good cheer. He's calling for you." And I love this next verse, in verse 50. It says that Bartimaeus, he jumps to his feet. He's blind, but he jumps to his feet. And what does he do? He throws aside his cloak. his robe, his cloak, the only thing that he owned. He jumps to his feet. He throws aside his only possession. He threw it all away. He risked it all to come to Jesus. You know, that's what it takes to come to Jesus. You have to risk it all. It may mean that your family doesn't understand you because you've become a believer in Christ. It may mean your workers at work don't understand you. Something different about your life. But he risked it all. Threw aside his cloak. And he jumps up. And he's blind. So he runs to the Jesus, to the voice that he heard. He runs to Jesus. He runs to Jesus. Verse 51. Jesus asked the blind man a very, very profound question. Jesus asked the blind man, he says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" You know, that's an interesting question. This afternoon, you might want to think about that. What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want him to do for you? Again, he didn't ask for money, didn't ask for houses, didn't ask for gold or jewelry or cars. He didn't ask for a new job or a job. He didn't ask for any of that. He asked for one single thing. He says, "My rabbi," or master, "my master, I want to see." That's the only thing he wanted. Now, I think there's a metaphor here in this story. Because Israel, as a nation, were not physically blind, but they were spiritually blind. Israel, as a nation, was spiritually blind. As a matter of fact, it says at the triumphal entry, when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, it says he looked out on Jerusalem and Jesus begins to weep because he said they didn't understand my visitation. They didn't know that it was Jesus, the Messiah, who had come to earth for them. And Jesus weeps tears of sorrow over Jerusalem because they were spiritually blind. And that's the condition of someone who doesn't know Christ. They're spiritually blind. They can't see the things of God. Now here, Bartimaeus is physically blind. But spiritually, his eyes had been opened. He says to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He says, "Master," or "Rabbi," or "Teacher, I want to see." And Bartimaeus comes to faith in Christ. He believed that Jesus could heal his blind eyes. Now, it's interesting. Son of David was a messianic title. It was the title given to the Messiah who would come. But healing the blind was a messianic sign. One of the signs that would prove that Jesus was the Messiah is that the Messiah would come and heal the eyes of the blind. And I looked up a lot of references. I'll just give you one of them. When John the Baptist was in prison, He sent a deputation to Jesus. He sent some of his followers to Jesus and said, go ask Jesus if he is the one, if he's the Messiah. And you know what Jesus answered? He said, go back to John and tell him that the lame are now walking and the blind can now see. And he was quoting there from the book of Isaiah, where it says those exact words, that the lame would walk and the blind would see. The Messiah would be the one who could heal the blind. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Finally, verse 52, last verse. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Healed there means saved you. Saved you. Go, for your faith has healed you. That is the only thing that can save us, is our faith in Christ. All of our good works, all of our good deeds, everything that we do does not save us. Only our faith saves us. And Jesus says to this blind man, he says, go, for your faith has saved you. Your faith in me has healed you. Has healed you. And the scripture says, instantly the man could see. Instantly Bartimaeus had sight. A miracle occurred. And what does the man do? Look at the last part of verse 52. Immediately he could see, but what does he do? It says, and he followed Jesus down the road. He immediately became a follower of Jesus. He believed and became a follower of Jesus. But I want to close with a couple of thoughts here. What road were they on? You know what? They're on the road to Jerusalem. What would happen in Jerusalem 6 days later? Jesus would be arrested. He'd go through the mockery of 6 trials, 3 political trials, 3 religious trials. He was beat upon the head with rods. He was spit upon. He was mocked. Then he was scourged, which is a terrible, terrible thing. They took whips with pieces of bone and metal, hit him at the base of his neck, and whipped him in a terrible, terrible way. Then they took a crown of thorns and put the crown of thorns and pressed it down into his skull. Then they made him carry the crossbeam of the cross up a very steep hill called Calvary. When he got to the top, he couldn't make it all the way, so they found a bystander on the road who carried the cross the rest of the way to the top of the hill. And they laid him on the ground, and he stretched out his hands, his arms, his wrists. They put nails through his wrists and his feet, and nailed him naked to a cross. That's the road. He followed Jesus down the road The road that they were on was the road leading to suffering. The passion of the Christ. You know, becoming a follower of Jesus, this is not going to be good news, but becoming a follower of Jesus doesn't mean all your problems go away, every day is sunny and blue, and for the rest of your life, you'll never get a cold. It doesn't mean that. People have that misconception, become a Christian and everything is cheerful and happy. No. There is a road that we have to follow Jesus down. But the blessing was that Sunday was coming. All of that would happen on the Friday evening. Thursday night, Friday evening. But Sunday was coming. And the women went to the tomb early in the morning. I think it's great that it was women who went to the tomb. And they get there early in the morning at the sunrise of that Sunday morning sunrise. And you remember what happened? They get there. And they had burial ointments. They were going to anoint his body for burial. And they get there, and the stone of the tomb was rolled away. And they look in there, and they don't see the body. But then a person appears in there. They think it's the gardener or somebody. But it's Jesus, who had been resurrected from the dead. And later, John and Peter, they run to the same tomb. And they look in there and they see the body cloth in the tomb. And Jesus is gone. And then Jesus appears to all the disciples in the upper room. Unbelievable. Because Sunday was coming. Easter Sunday. And that's what gives us the hope to jump up, throw aside our cloak, believe, and then follow Jesus. That's why we do it. Because Sunday is coming. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that Sunday is coming. Next Sunday, Lord, we'll celebrate the greatest event in the history of all mankind. We're going to celebrate next Sunday, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's no greater thing that's ever happened in the history of all mankind that's greater than this. But Lord, we know there's a road that leads to Jerusalem. And sometimes that road is lonely. Sometimes it is dark. Sometimes it is painful. But you are with us on that road. And Lord, I pray right now for my friends in this room. Just, I pray that you would minister to their heart this day and throughout this week as they prepare for Easter. I pray for the hard things they may be going through, the darkness they may experience, the pain they may feel even now, that you would encourage, that you would comfort, that you would make your presence known to them.